We welcome you all for this wonderful Chetna festival, and we are really grateful to you for having come in such wonderful large numbers on a special weekend. Before I begin, I actually offer my heartfelt prayers to the lotus feet of my Gurudev, who has nurtured me with his ceaseless love and shelter, to all the devotees in my life and my family, who have nurtured me with their unquestionable help and overall support, by which I am at this place today to speak something on their instructions, and have developed a genuine attitude of at least trying to emulate them in whatever way I can. What's the topic today? Are you inquisitive to know what it is? Okay. I'll just begin with a small parable. Okay. So what's this parable about? I'll just read about it. Once there was an island where the feelings lived together. Feelings, many feelings lived together. One day there was a storm in the sea and the island was about to drown. Every feeling was scared, but love made a boat to escape. All the feelings jumped into the boat except for one feeling. Any guesses? Very nice. So love got down to see who it was. It was, as you all great souls have said, ego. Love tried and tried, but ego didn't move. Everyone asked love to leave ego and just come into the boat. But love was meant to love. So it remained on the island with ego. All other feelings survived. They were left alive. But love died because of ego. So I'll begin this talk with this parable. Next. We'll just cover this topic under a few headings. The headings will be, what's the history behind this Valentine's Day? Why do we feel the need to celebrate it? Our desperate search and what it is about. Yeah. The nature of exchanges in this world. The attributes of true love. The complete source of love. How to access this love. And a secret but an open invitation. So next. The history behind Valentine's Day. Valentine was actually a saint. He was Saint Valentine. And what was he famous for? Why do we still celebrate Valentine's Day? He lived during the reign of Emperor Claudius II. And at that time, the soldiers who were drafted into the war, they were not allowed to marry. Why? Because the king thought that probably, you know, these soldiers who are married, once they are married, they'll just get entangled and they will not be able to serve the country. And neither did the parents of the girls want their girls to be married to the soldiers, because they thought they are slaves to the king, so we don't want our daughters to be married to slaves. At this time, when the soldiers were actually they didn't have any companion to share their love with, Saint Valentine got them married to girls, to young, nice girls. And so he was celebrated for allowing them to marry. But the emperor, because he transgressed the laws, he ordered for his execution. And whenever this Saint Valentine would get the soldiers married to girls, he would give them small gifts. What was that? It was a heart cutout made up of parchment paper. And he would say, "This I give to you both. And you should, you know, seeing this love, seeing this heart, you should remember the vows to each other. And you should remember the vows which you have given to God." So he arranged for their marriage, keeping God in center. But nonetheless, the king, you know, he ordered for his execution, and there he was behind the bars. Now when he was, you know, before he was to be actually executed, the king's daughter fell ill. And this person, Saint Valentine, being a saint, he was connected to God. He had divine powers. So he healed the daughter, the princess, of the fever. And the girl started developing an attachment to this saint. And just before he was executed, he wrote a letter in remembrance of that girl to the princess, saying, and he wrote whatever he wanted to convey, and he signed, "Your Valentine." His name was Valentine, so he can sign. We sign your whatever, Anita. So, "Your Valentine." So that's how Valentine's Day, it started to be celebrated, because he was the symbol of love, yeah, and he practiced love, he preached love, so that's why we still celebrate Valentine's Day. Now, how do we celebrate Valentine's Day? Generally, we give gifts, right? These gifts could be, it could be just some chocolates, some flowers, some sweets, whatever you like to give to your beloved. Nowadays, we give expensive gifts also, iPads and iPods and whatnot. So, we give to, just to reciprocate our love with the person whom we love. Do you know that Valentine's Day is also celebrated in some other ways? In some countries, Valentine's Day is celebrated by the parents giving gifts to their children. Next. Sometimes the children give parents their gifts, right? And sometimes it's gifts shared between friends. So it's not just limited to Valentine's gifts being shared amongst lovers. It is all exhaustive, It encompasses friends, it encompasses parents, kids, and whoever you love. Just like we saw in the drama, it can be to anyone whom you love. Next. Why do we feel the need to love? It's an inherent nature of the soul. Don't you feel so? We want to love. And we want to feel love, right? We want to love and we want to be loved, right? You can see whether it is adults, whether it's old grandparents or little children. When you rebuke them, they become sad, right? They are waiting when we can give them love back. So like this child, she's probably sad. So whether any age, any caste, any creed, what to speak of humans, even animals, they need love. Because that's the nature of the soul, to love and to be loved. Next. These are the pictures of the baby in the womb, the embryo. You can see it's smiling. Why? It can feel the mother's emotions. Don't think that the baby doesn't have emotions inside. Whatever the mother goes through, the baby feels it. So the mother probably here, it's too happy and the baby is expressing that, and that's why it's captured in the image. For that matter, it said, when you are very happy, don't promise. Because you may not be likely to keep the promise. You are so overjoyed that you just forget about the promise. Anyway, next. What is this love based on? Imagine if you have all the wealth of the world, right? And you are just alone person in the entire planet, will you experience love? You will not, because love means it's an exchange between two living entities, right? Whether it's in the animal body or human body, it's love, it's exchange between two living entities, yeah? So you can see here, this person, probably he owns the entire planet, but he's totally aloof, right? He can't experience love with all the material facilities he has at his disposal. He can't feel the love. There's a story of this person called as Rockefeller. He was a very rich millionaire from the US. And he had a son. This son wanted to do some postgraduate PhD studies. So, and his topic was to study about the cannibals who eat human flesh. So he went to this island called New Guinea, right? And there he studied them, he interviewed in whatever language of communication he could. And his thesis was almost ready. And when he went, he was about to go back to his place. Somehow the boat or the ship, whatever he was riding in, it met an accident. And this same person, the cannibals actually ate him up. The persons whom he researched on, they ate him up. Now this Rockefeller, can you imagine what was his state? He was a millionaire with everything at his disposal. He couldn't do anything. He was bereft of his son. And nothing actually could ever pacify him or give him any happiness. Because he didn't have a son whom he could exchange his love with. Next. So what are we searching for? If we are meant to love and to be loved, what are we searching for? And actually it's a very desperate search. What is it? For a friend, for a lover, right? For a guide, for a shelter. Is it just for a few hours or for a few days? No. We need a guide, a friend, a shelter for a life, right? And that's what our desperate search is. Whoever we meet, we are just trying to look for that love, isn't it? Next. And what happens when we find such love? We are on the top of the world. Nothing actually matters, you know. You know, you are just in that cloud nine, on that cloud nine. Everything else is just like, you know, nitty gritty things, right? So you actually feel on the top of the world and you are so joyous, right? And what happens when you don't get that love? Next. Your world comes crashing down. The castles which you built on the sand of time are just washed away. And what just remains is some memories or a dream, right? So the same happiness which you got, once you are bereft of it, your entire world comes crashing down. So that means we are so desperately looking for it and we are so dependent on it. Next. Why do we feel this sadness when we lose the love? And why do we lose that love? If love is supposed to be the origin of everything, why do we feel that sadness? Because it is temporary. It is flickering. It is based on mutual give and take, right? It is based on limited resources. And it's many times based on selfish agenda. It's something like Srila Prabhupada said, scratching, you scratch my back and I scratch yours. You know, when I have some scratch on my back, you scratch. And when you have, I scratch. That's it. When the scratch is over and when we don't no longer need each other, that's it. It's two poles apart. Is that what love is supposed to be? No, it's supposed to be much beyond that, right? So what is that beyond? Let's see. We can take some examples of why we say that, you know, the love in this material world has these attributes of being temporary or based on selfish agenda. You are not, I mean, I don't think any of you is married, but you must have seen your relatives, your cousins getting married. Now, what was the institution of marriage like before, maybe around 100 years back? The couple got married and then they started loving each other. Right? They didn't even know each other before they got married. Just because the parents decided, and the parents know well what is good for their children, they decided and the couple got married. And later they started developing love for each other. And later, what has it been? What is it? Yes. So now we first love. We think maybe the parents don't know really what I really want. So we first love and then we enter marriage. Fine. Good enough. At least you are married. And what's the current trend? What's the current trend? There's some relationship, L-I, relationship. Living in relationship. You don't feel the need to go for an arranged marriage. You don't feel the need to have a love marriage. You just live in. Why? Let's see whether it works out, you know. If you're compatible, compatible is a big word, and they understand it. If it's compatible, we'll marry. If not, then I think we better separate. And how do they separate? They just text each other. I think we better separate. That's it. That's the end of the love affair. And even if they marry, it's a deal. It's a pact. You know how armies, they would sign pacts. Okay, you do this thing and I will take back the war. So it's a pact or a deal. In West, it's very common. Once you enter a marriage bond, you sign a bond. If you survive with me for 1 year, you'll get this amount. If you survive for 10 years, 10 times more. Right? So it's a deal. The more number of years you stay together, that amount of money you will get when we part. So it's actually a deal. It's not love. What are the rates of divorce like in our country? Any idea? It's huge. But it was huge, and it is continuing. But in the West, there's a good news. The divorce rates have started coming down. Isn't it nice? Yeah, it's nice. How have they started coming down? They don't marry. Very good. People do no longer marry. So what's the question of divorce? You know, you just say text a message, that's it. So people no longer enter into that bond of marriage, and that's how the divorce rates are much lesser. Next. So where has the concept and the practice of real understanding, commitment and sacrifice gone? Love is supposed to be sacrificing. Where has it gone? Next. Let's look into some other relationships. Say the father and the son. When the child is small, when the son is small, the father just loves him so much. When the child is adolescent, the father tolerates. And when the child becomes a young man, there's so much ego that the father and son no longer want to stay together. You know, the child doesn't want to see the father's face. The father doesn't want to see the child's face, right? So that's how it's now. What about siblings? Once the parents are no longer there, the siblings, the same siblings who loved, who were together under the shelter of the parents, they will now fight and do anything to get a small part of that property which the parents left behind. And what about friends? You are the thickest of the friends, but when it comes to the desire for power and prestige, you don't mind just leaving your friend behind. You just want to go ahead without them, right? So it's not just, you know, between lovers, it's between other relationships also, that the love is just decreasing, right? Next. The purest form of love in this material world, we all know, it's between the mother and the child, right? The mother, without any expectations, loves the child. She doesn't say, look, I'm changing your nappies, I'm feeding you, so when you grow up, you have to give me the interest. No, she doesn't take any EMI, she doesn't take any interest. She just loves, because that's her nature, unconditional love. And, but, this is a modern world. Even the mother's love has decreased. You know how? Abortions. Just because you land into a pregnancy and you don't want to continue it, you can just take the help of some medical rules and doctors to abort that child. That child within you who's surviving, who's depending on you for everything of his, every need of his, you just abort and you don't even feel the pain of it. You don't even feel that, yes, there's a child, a jiva, a living entity dependent on me. You just crush it. Next. So where has love gone? Is it still amongst us or it has disappeared? Do you think it's amongst us? Let's see, where's the address of love? There's a small story here again. There was this grandma just sewing a sweater, and then her young grandchild, she comes and says, Grandma, I just don't know where is love. It just seems that I'm not able to find it at all. The grandmother just looks at her, nods her head, says, well, I'll tell you where it has gone. So then while she's still knitting, the grandchild puts her head on the grandma's lap, and the grandma says, long back, love was everywhere. Wherever you could see, love existed. But people started taking it for cheap. They started taking it for granted. So God decided to keep it in hiding. What did God do? God, He dug the earth and reposed love there. But then people came to know about it. They dug it and they found it. God said, no, they are still taking it for granted. So then He kept on the highest peak of the mountains. And they said, now it will be safe there. But people, they need love, right? So they went to the top of the mountains. They just got it back. And they still didn't care for it much. Then the Lord hid it in the deepest of the seas, the oceans. And the people swam and got love from there. So the grandchild said, Grandma, it feels that you can just, you know, climb or dive or dig it out, and that's easy. The grandmother, what did she have to say? No. She said, the Lord, after knowing that the people are desperate for it, and yet when they get it, they don't care for it, the Lord has secretly concealed and hid that love in people's hearts. So now, these same people who are desperate, who are longing for love, they search everywhere around, But they just don't bother to look within their hearts where I've sealed it. So that's the state of our affairs. We are looking for everywhere, we are looking for love everywhere, and we don't really realize it's just within the core of our hearts. Right? Next. Who's this person? Any guesses? She made a very famous statement which our Guru Maharaj says. She says, real hunger is not of the belly, but it's of the heart. Any guesses? Next. Very nice. She is Mother Teresa. She spent her life to give that love to others. She cultivated that love within her heart and she gave it to others. She said, the real poverty is not poverty of money. Even the rich are suffering. Why? Because they don't feel loved and cared for. Next. So what are the attributes of true love? Srila Rupa Goswami, one of our acharyas, he says, love is ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki means unmotivated. You don't have any motivations when you love. That means without any conditions you just love. And apratihata, that means it is uninterrupted. It just flows, no matter what obstacle, it just flows. Like the river flows into the sea, there are so many obstacles on the path, but the river just nevertheless flows into the sea. So true love is meant to be like that, unmotivated and uninterrupted. What are some other features of love? We'll just see. It's not a give and take relationship. Do you agree with this? It's never a give and take. You may exchange gifts, but it's not just limited to a give and take relationship. It doesn't differentiate. It doesn't differentiate who should get our love, right? We can love animals, so why not humans? And it never rejects. I clearly remember the story of my friend. It just happened maybe around 10 years back. We were both doctors working in the same hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And this friend of mine, she conceived. And to her great dismay, the sonography report, it revealed that the child was an anencephalic child. Anencephalic means the child doesn't have a brain. So much so that even the skull is not covered. It's just covered by a small flap of skin. And there's no brain at all. Now the doctor said, what do you want to do? I mean, you should abort this child. Why do you want to keep this child? It's not anyway going to survive. You should rather abort it. Yeah? But this child, within the womb, it was surviving because through the placenta, the nutrients were coming to it. This person, can you believe what she did? She said to the doctors, I am not going to kill my baby. No matter what, because this child has taken shelter of my womb, I am supposed to love it. No matter what, I am not going to kill it. So she continued her pregnancy with all her pains of pregnancy. She continued till the 9 months. And when the child was delivered, just within a fraction of a minute, the child succumbed. Because it had no brain, right? So the child was dead, but the mother expressed her love by keeping the child within her womb till like she was expected to. She didn't succumb to the orders or the instructions of the doctors. Do you think that is real love? Yes, that is real love. Next. It's not dependent on some superficial exchanges. Again, as I said, we may exchange, but it doesn't depend. Have you ever realized telepathy? Have you ever felt it? Like you are just thinking of calling your friend and the friend calls from the other end. Yeah? And you're just thinking, ah, mom, I'm so hungry. I wish you make patata vada for me. And the mother comes within some time. Here, my child, take this patata vada because I know you love it. Right? So that's love, right? It's not based on expressions. The person just knows. You know, if there's real love, you just know. That the person, what he needs or what she needs. We have seen, as a doctor, I have seen a case where the wife was suffering because she had some terrible pain in her heart. She was suffering. Nevertheless, the husband, he suffered fever for a long duration. All the tests were done, right from blood test to CT to sonography to MRI, and they just couldn't detect any cause of fever. You know why that happened? Any guesses? Any guesses? The husband was so pained to see the pain of the wife. And this has happened just amongst us, not just some 10 years back. The husband was so pained to see the pain of the wife that he developed this fever for, I mean, without any reason. Just that he was emotionally connected to the wife in such a strong way. Next. And it's never judgmental. Judgmental. If you, judge on the basis of your mind, that's not true love. Right? So, true love is never judgmental. Here I would just like to state the story of Lord Nityanand Prabhu. Like we have these deities, Gaur Nithai. They are Krishna and Balaram. So, Balaram comes as Nityanand Prabhu. Now, this Nityanand Prabhu, he was given the order of preaching everywhere and to everyone. So, he went to two drunkards who were the most, sinful of the rogues. They cheated, they looted, they raped, and they did everything possible. And Lord Nityananda went to them and said, please, my dear brothers, please take the holy name of the Lord. And they were just enraged. They said, how dare you preach us? So one of them just picked up a pot and flung it at the Lord. The Lord started bleeding from his head. Now seeing his devotee in so much pain, Lord Krishna, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately arrived at the scene. And he called for his Sudarshan Chakra. He said, I will just kill these rogues because they have hurted my dear most devotee. Right? What did Lord Nityananda do? He said, my dear Lord, you have appeared because you want to give love to these fallen souls. If you kill them, what's the hope for them? Lord Nityananda was bleeding. He was in so much pain, but he didn't allow the Lord to kill them. He rather approached the Lord for forgiving them. And the Lord, he said, just because, Lord Nityananda has forgiven you, I will forgive you. So that's not being judgmental. Even when a person rebukes you or just misbehaves with you, you don't mind tolerating the person, just because you have love with that person. Next. It's always without, giving without any other consideration, right? You don't mind giving it to the person whom you love. Is remembrance without even a reason? There may not be a reason to remember a friend. You don't need to call up your friend on a birthday or an anniversary or a Valentine's Day or a friend's day. You just remember your person without a reason, right? And it's extremely eager to reciprocate. There's a story of this couple who wanted to give each other a Valentine gift. And they were very, very poor. They didn't have much resources to give gifts to each other. So what did they do? They just had two assets. The husband, he had a very nice belt. Belt the men wear. And it had a very nice, it was a very nice belt which was given to him by a precious friend. And he really treasured it. Right? And the wife had long hair, which the husband liked. Now, because they didn't have money for each other to give gifts to each other, what did the lady do? She cut her hair, and with that money that she got, she donated, sort of cut her hair for to give as a donation. And with that money she got, she bought a beautiful buckle for that belt. The belt was the same. She couldn't afford to buy a belt, but she got a beautiful buckle, with the one which we put in the center of the belt. And the husband, imagine what he did. He sold the belt to get a hair clip for the wife. So the wife was without a hair, but with a hair clip. And the husband was without a belt, but with a buckle. Is that true love? Yes, so that's true love. You give, just give. It is willing to endure anything and everything. It is being happy to see others receiving. You don't expect. If others receive, you are happy. It is willing to be conquered. Whatever your lover wants you to do, your parent wants to do you to do, your brother wants to do, your sister wants you to do, you are willing to do it. It's based on service and sacrifice. There's another story here I would like to say. My husband, he travels very often. So he recently, just maybe 5 months back, he went to Brazil. There he met the daughter of his, he met the hotel owner who looked to be quite in distress. So he asked, madam, what's the issue? What's the problem? The lady revealed that she has a 19-year-old girl who's suffering because she has cancer and she is about to leave her body in very soon, maybe a couple of months. So he said, is it? Then I would like to share something with your daughter. So he went to meet that person, the girl. Here there was this girl, just so frail and thin. Beautiful, but very frail and thin because of the cancer. And she was suffering, right? And all her hair had just gone off because she was under treatment. And he saw her boyfriend, who was also 19, who was willing to do everything for this girl. Right from feeding her, giving her water, her breakfast, caring for her. You know, even the most menial of the services, this boy was doing for her. Right? And not just that, because this girl lost her hair, this boy shaved his hair up. Just to, you know, express to her, if you don't have hair, I don't mind being bald. That's the love, which is seen in this case, right? And when we showed a picture of our saints here, this girl was so happy because we shared some lectures and some stories about our temple and the love that we get from devotees here. The girl was overjoyed, also because of the stories, but because she said, wow, I look like one of them. She was bald, so she said, I look like one of them. So she was very happy. Next. It is true gratitude, actually. Whatever happens, I will never leave my lover. So it is actually gratitude. So, this is a story of Lord Ram. Do we keep diaries with us? Lord Ram used to keep diaries with him. So he had this one diary where he, all the names of his devotees were there, like Sita, Lakshman and Vibhishan. All those devotees were ranked. I mean, their names were written. So once Naradji came and he wanted to see that diary. So he said, my dear Lord, I want to see this diary. So the Lord said, okay, here you go. So he read all the names and he was like, Hanuman's name is not there. So he was a bit disturbed. He didn't tell anything to the Lord though. He went to Hanuman. He said, Hanuman, do you know? Your name is not there in the diary. Hanuman said, so what? I'm happy serving my Lord. I don't mind whether the name is there or not. But Naraji was disturbed. He wanted to know what's the reason. So he again went to Lord Ram. He said, my dear Lord, I know you are very loving, but I'm still disturbed that Hanuman's name is not there. Ramji said, are you disturbed? You want to know the reason? And Naraji said, yes, yes, I want to know the reason. Though Hanumanji is not disturbed, I want to know the reason. So Lord Ram, he picked out a diary from another pocket of his, right? He picked another diary. So he had two diaries. And he said, he opened the diary and there was it, Hanuman's name, topmost. Naraji couldn't understand, what's this, my lord? You have two diaries. Are you falling short of pages? I mean, what's this? The Lord said, in the first diary, I write the names of devotees who always remember me. And in the second diary, I write the names of devotees whom I always remember. So that was Hanumanji. His love was so great. And the Lord was not just, okay, chalta, you know, I can write his name anywhere. He wrote it foremost on the other diary, which was a secret. So that's gratitude. Even the Lord expresses gratitude. Next. So, if we have to give such love, do we have to have it? Yes. You know, Valentine's Day, as I said, Valentine, he distributed this cutouts of heart. Okay, they are parchment paper hearts. Our hearts seem to be parched up. We don't really have any love. If we don't have, how can we give it to others? So, next. Are we searching for the wrong thing or are we searching for the right thing in the wrong place? That's what we have to look for. Next. Next. If you want something, say if you want water, you can go to a well, you can draw some water out of it. But if you want a permanent and everlasting source, what will you do? You'll go to the ocean or to the river, right? Similarly, if we need love, we can take from other sources, other friends, other human beings, right? And we can get that love. But if you want an eternal, everlasting source of love, where do you go? To the original source of love, right? So what's that? Or who's that? Because no matter how much love you have, it's just like you're not connected. If there's a huge tree and it's uprooted by a storm, no matter how huge it is just a matter of time that the tree will dry. All the leaves will dry. Or whether it's a small twig, it will just take, you know, a few days to dry. So if you are not connected to the supreme source of love, you actually can't, you know, sustain that love. You will dry off, right? So we need to be connected to that supreme source. Next. So the complete source is either the Supreme Lord himself, right? He is the Supreme Lord. He is the complete source. And if you want to take it from the immediate sources, they are the souls who are connected to that supreme source. The devotees who cherish the Lord's heart, Lord's love in their heart. Next. So just like you may take water from the river, but the river is connected to the sea. And if ever the river dries up, it takes the water from the sea in the form of clouds and the rain. So the river has a perennial supply of water, and that's how they continue. Like the devotees who have love of God within their hearts, how are they? They are like containers without any holes. So the Lord's love is just flowing into their container, right? And because they don't have any holes so that the water just drains off, somewhere the container will overflow. And when that overflows, it is distributed to others, right? So we should be such containers where our heart is itself filling up and brimming with love. And then when we are filled up with love, we can share it with others, right? Next. So maybe you can skip this. Next. So if we compare the love to a tree, right, then and the water, I mean our prayers and the Lord's mercy, it's like the water which nourishes the tree. Remember that the sincere souls who are connected to the Lord, they are like the soil. You can't dig out the roots and water it, right? Can you just dig out the root and say, oh, there a small branch. You have to pour it on the soil. So the devotees or those who love God, they are like that soil. They will help us absorb the Lord's mercy, and our tree of love will be cherished and it will be loved. It will be nourished. And an attitude of humility and gratitude, they are the natural fertilizers which help our tree to just flourish. Next. So we too can become vessels of such love. Can we? Yes. We need to know how to access it. So next. How do we develop a new friendship? We hear from that friend about that friend from someone. We develop some knowledge based on our knowledge, develop some affection based on our knowledge, right? Then we remember that person, we express our love, and then we share that love, right? So similarly, when you have to develop love for that Supreme Personality, what will you do? Same things. You hear. Hearing is the most important, because when a person is asleep, how can you wake him up? You can't just have a rasgulla in front of him and say, oh, please taste it. You can't have a fragrant flower and say, please smell it. But if you wake him up, if you just shout, he will get up, right? So similarly, love of God, which is dormant in our hearts, it is awakened just by the power of speech and the power of hearing. So when you hear about the Lord, you develop that love, right? Then when we hear, we develop affection based on the knowledge, right? We remember the Lord in good times as well as bad by chanting the holy names of the Lord. We express our love through acts of service and surrender. And once we have done all this, we can share this love with others. Next. This is the story of Gajendra, who was in great difficulty, and none of his relatives, none of his wives or children could rescue him. But because he was a devotee in the past life, he remembered, and by dint of that memory, he offered prayers to the Lord, and the Lord came and rescued him from the bite of a crocodile. The crocodile was delivered and Gajendra was also delivered. So this, he being an elephant could remember the Lord because he has developed that love in the previous life. Next. There are so many great souls who distribute such love because they are receptacles of love. They also distribute that love. So, when we said Valentine signed that letter, your Valentine, I know of one great soul, one great saint who distributed this love. That was His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He had that love. His heart was brimming with that love, and he distributed it to anyone who he came in contact with. And he signed each of his letter by saying, "Your ever well wisher." Ever well wisher means well wisher for eternity, for all the times to come. So, what is the difference between a simple love and a God-centered love? Even if you have natural love, a true, pure love, it can solve so many problems. You can erase out all negativities and be in the best of your capabilities, right? There's no depression, there's no negativity. Then what is the need of a God-centered love? When you have a God-centered love, just like if you have a sea and you just keep throwing pebbles, each pebble you throw will create ripples, right? And if they fall at different places, all these ripples, they will just clash with each other, right? But if you imagine, if you can throw the pebbles, all the pebbles at just one point, no matter how many pebbles, the ripples will just be concentric rings and they will never clash with each other. So the importance of keeping God in the center is, when you have that concept of being God in the center, God's love in the center, your egos will not clash, right? You have love, and that will be the supreme love, because you are just sharing it with, without any motivation, without any expectations, right? And what to speak of Krishna's love, who is the source of all love. Next. Can we try to develop this love? Yes. Actually, we are in the most fortunate situations. You know why? Next. What are the most famous songs you think of? They are of broken hearts, right? Because it just touches your hearts. Broken hearts, you know, sad love, you know, someone deserted you. So they are the most famous songs and the most heart-touching songs. Now, we too are, believe me, we also are in that position. Why? Somehow we have forgotten the Lord, right? So we are actually in that state of separation. So actually it's the best time for us to cultivate that love. You know, the Brajvasis, they are always crying for the Lord because they are so bereft of the Lord's association. They are always just remembering the Lord and crying for Him. We too can remember the Lord in separation, because actually we are all separated from the Lord. Only problem is we are just caught up in this material world because of some material attractions or conditionings, and we forget our state, our supreme blissful state, our most fortunate state of being able to cultivate that love. Next. So we too can love. Next. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. The Lord is there to protect us. Next. Like Draupadi, she called out for the Lord, and the Lord did everything and anything to save her chastity and honor, right? She was depending on her relatives, but finally she understood it's only the Lord who will protect her, and she was saved. Next. Next. So we may desert Him sometimes, but the Lord never deserts. You know, like we may desert Him because of some material attractions, like Cupid, He is called Madan. Next. Krishna, He is called as Madan Mohan because He attracts Cupid. He is so beautiful that His beauty attracts even Kamdev or Madan or Cupid. And Radharani, she is the supreme love of abode. She is called Madan Mohan Mohini, one who attracts the attractor of Cupid. Isn't that wonderful? Right, so we have to take shelter of Radharani. Next. Next. We may desert Him sometime, but this is a small thing from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, blessed is the devotee who never leaves the association of the Lord. And glorious is that Lord who, even if the devotee deserts Him, He will drag him by his hair and bring him back to His shelter. Isn't that amazing? You may forget the Lord, but the Lord will do anything to get you back to His shelter. Next. If we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 1,000 steps. You can see in this picture how happy Krishna is that one of His devotees, Gop Kumar, has come back to Him. Next. So then, we have an open invitation for all of you, for this Valentine Day, for the next, all Valentines to come, and all the days in between. What is that? Let's see. Gaunitai, Krishna Balram, they have spread their hands, huge, right, you know, top, and then they are just inviting you. Come, come, be my Valentine. Next. Gopal, he's saying, don't worry, I will protect you from unlimited calamities. Just like I lifted the Govardhan in Vrindavan, I will protect you. Come, come, be my Valentine. Radharani, you know why she is holding her hands like this? She is offering the devotees to Krishna. Radharani says, come, come, be a flower in this garland, be the garland itself, and I'll offer you to Krishna. So she says, come, be my Valentine. And Krishna, you think he is just playing his flute? No, actually he's very clever. He plays his flute, but with his sidelong glances, he's always glancing at Radharani. Why? He's just waiting for that moment when Radharani says, you're my Lord, one more devotee has come to take your shelter. And as soon as Radharani says, Krishna just accepts that devotee. So there's no point in just wasting our time. Yeah, we have to just be ready to accept that love and be that garland which Radharani can accept. So what does Krishna say? He says, come, come, be my Valentine. So are we ready? We have to be ready to be their Valentines. Thank you so much. We will take part in the Kirtan, and this small paper papers which you have, the hearts. You can write your heartfelt feelings for the Supreme Lord, whatever you want to express. And we are going to compile this as a gift for the Supreme Lord on Valentine's Day. So whatever love is in your heart, whatever is in your heart, whatever prayers or requests, you can just put it for the Lord and be sure that the Lord will accept all your requests and fulfill them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Big hand for her. Thank you very much. We are running short of time. That's why we'll do it.